This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, a very good morning to you. You're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Philip C. And joining me in the studio today is Wong Xiaoning and Khoo Soo Chuang. It's now 7:06 on Thursday, the 16th of June.
Let's recap how global markets closed yesterday because, of course, all eyes were on the rate hike by the Federal Reserve, which we'll be discussing in a few moments. But firstly, the Dow was up 1%, S&P 500 up 1.5%, NASDAQ up 2.5%. Meanwhile, in Asia, Nikkei was actually down 1.1%, Hang Seng, the complete opposite, it was up 1.1%. Shanghai was up 0.5%. Singapore Straits Times was down 0.1%. And our very own FBM KLCI, not a very good day for us, down 1.5%.
Yes, I mean, I think the markets reacted quite positively to that hike rate. But to understand a bit more, and joining us on the line now for analysis is Vishnu Varathan, Head of Economics and Strategy at Mizuho Bank. A very good morning to you, Vishnu. The US Fed, 75 basis points yesterday. Was this in line with your expectations?
Good morning. We were thinking that the Fed might do a 50 instead because they started quantitative tightening this month. But 75 basis points was certainly not ruled out given that inflation had surprised with very sticky core components. And you do have the more hawkish and end of the spectrum of the Fed, led by Bullard, gaining more currency in terms of his views that you probably need to reach about 3.5% Fed fund rates sooner rather than later.
Yeah, Vishnu, are you concerned that a hard landing is more in the offing now, especially given the fact that in the last few weeks, the data seems to show a downturn is looming?
That's certainly something, to put it simply, that's still the elephant in the room. It's not a foregone conclusion, but it's a really narrow path to achieve an adequately soft landing from here. And I think that is something that markets will remain intent on for two reasons. One is very, very quickly from the end of last year when we thought the Fed will only do the equivalent of 325 basis point hikes this year, we are now knocking up against the equivalent of 14 of those. So that's a huge jump in the levels of rate hikes we expect. Then there's also the other factor to consider, which is the speed of the rate hikes. Historically, when we look back, rate hike cycles have caused recessions. In some cases, the levels are much higher and they've gone further. But this is perhaps and arguably the fastest pace of rate hikes, given that the Fed is going around 25 to 30 basis points per month if you start from March this year out into March next year.
Vishnu, do you worry about the Fed actually over-tightening then, on the other hand, because of the pace and the rate of the hikes?
That is, I guess, an unavoidable part of the policy construct because the Fed is now rushing because they know there's a policy lag and they've been caught on their back foot. And so they're trying to get ahead of the curve. But the flip side of that is exactly what you pointed out, which is to say, if inflation starts coming down and real rates start rising really quickly and brings, runs the economy to the ground, then rate cuts at that point will also be somewhat belated. So the Fed's oversteer is certainly a concern, but their dilemma is also quite obvious for everyone to see. If they don't do enough, they can't get the credibility that they require at this point of time.
I'm just curious then, does this then mean that the other central banks around the region will also be forced to act as aggressively as the Fed, let's say the ECB?
I think a lot of the central banks will have to up their game to become a lot more aggressive than they initially intended to. So this includes the ECB that's, brought forward their rate hikes. They flagged it for July along with the end of asset purchase programs. They could do a lot more in terms of rate hikes going by what they're saying. The RBA is also surprised twice, not only by doing a lot more hikes than anticipated, but very recently, RBA governor is now suggesting much higher neutral rates than he had earlier indicated. That's to say he is upping his game to say where rates will go. So those are certainly something we cannot avoid. But the flip side of that is they are also grappling with their own problems. Like the ECB had an emergency meeting yesterday, and because of the rate hikes they are signaling, there's been a fracturing of yields. German bond yields are held a bit lower, but Italian spreads are going much wider. And so policy dilemma in more than one dimension crops up, and that makes it even more problematic.
Yeah, Vishnu, so with the US, the latest US inflation print coming in at 8.6% and the Fed funds rate in the range of 1.5 to 1.7% currently, at what point in time do you think they might even come close to inflecting?
I think, and here's the reality. Monetary policy now is used a lot more as a signaling tool to regain confidence, whereas I don't think monetary tightening on its own is going to bring down inflation, nor is the Fed counting on purely the impact of monetary policy. So we do need some supply side factors to start calming. We also don't know what the outcomes of the Ukraine war will be, whether it gets worse in terms of energy pricing, so on and so forth. But we expect inflation to, and I like the term you use, inflect a little bit more durably. By the time we get into late Q3 this year, we should see it coming off and starting to hit well below 7 by next year. But the decline may be a lot more gradual than anticipated earlier, given the rolling supply disruptions we're seeing. And for the Fed, what may be problematic may be the wage components and the rental components that's now beginning to look stickier.
Okay, Vishnu, the $1 trillion question. How do you think markets are going to react to the comments of Fed Chair Jerome Powell yesterday? Do you think we're still going to face a lot of volatility in the few months? What will be the catalyst for markets?
Oh, that indeed is the $1 trillion question, isn't it? So, I want to preface it by saying that the rebound that we saw in markets, we probably need to get a good perspective on it. That's really relief than anything else. And that relief is a funny relief. There's partial relief that the Fed is doing enough to anchor inflation. But of course, the attachment to that is to say, then the Fed will not need to oversteer even more if they're wrong on inflation. So I think markets are probably going to continue to be turbulent and somewhat volatile, because July is when I think markets will have to weigh off whether it is going to be a 50 or 75 basis point. Jerome Powell explicitly put both outcomes on the table. And heading into September, there are two things to watch out for. Incoming inflation data, how sticky it is. So that may start forming views about whether rate hikes will need to be stepped up or they can be dialed back. And the other aspect is the Fed then going to double its pace of quantitative tightening? So draining US dollars, instead of 47.5, they go up to 95 billion per month. The market cannot ignore these things. So we don't think volatility and turbulence is in the rearview mirror yet.
When you say the market, you mean all markets, or is there a distinction between that and Southeast Asian markets?
I would like to think there's going to be a distinction, but the distinction may not appear so fast. The dust will take a while to settle. And in fact, as the US market probably would probably get the most violent reaction due to proximity reasons. The spillover, however, can come very quickly, because the other trend that we are noting now is the pickup, the rate of pickup in inflation in this part of the world, in EM Asia overall, is much higher than in the US. So that's a certain inflection, a different type of inflection we are seeing. And that means real returns from EM Asia are less attractive. And so the risk is capital outflows from EM Asia can begin to pick up pace as US inflation is peaking. And that's something we need to be aware about as well.
Yeah, that's right. So what's your sense of fund flows from Asia, in specifically ASEAN, from, you know, obviously dollars that are held in bonds like MGSs back to the US, where, as you say, rising with better returns?
I think we probably need to segment that into the light-footed funds. And those that are here for longer-term investments, whether it be in real capital or as part of a bigger portfolio with a greater stability. The light-footed ones, in all sense, as we see 10-year UST yields, heading north of 3.5%. I mean, we did flirt with it for a while, so going north of that is not outlandish. The capital or the suction of capital from this part of the world is going to be somewhat greater and may show up a bit more evidently in the bond and equity markets, particularly in Q3. Beyond that, though, if we do see continued reopening optimism, I think that there is a chance for a recovery, especially if the Fed is able to dial back its pace of tightening.
Vishnu, you mentioned US Treasuries. I want to talk about that a little bit. And if we look at it, yes, it's dialed back down in terms of the 10-year and 30-year paper yields. But it does look like even the fixed income market is expecting a recession. What are your views on this? Because a few days ago, there was an inverted yield curve for a moment or two.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's a great point. Yeah, you're right. The 10-2-year momentarily inverted, I think, on Monday. Probably at the peak and at the height of the you know post CPI panic about the Fed doing 75 basis points. So I think you know fixed income markets are still very very wary of recession risks, but it's being expressed and interpreted differently. We could the 10-year, 2-year, even though no longer inverted, it's very very flat, could invert at any point if the Fed needs to step up its pace of hikes. So that's one thing. But again, the Fed is not looking at 10-year, 2-year. They published a paper and Jerome Powell alluded to the fact that, look at the paper, he said that they're looking at the 3-month, 18-month forward spreads, which are not inverted. In fact, if anything, they have steepened. So the Fed will not react to the 10-year, 2-year inverting. And this is the added layer of risk, which is the recession risk being priced by the 10-year, 2-year yield curve will be ignored by the Fed. So the Fed could tighten for longer still.
That was Vishnu Varathan, Head of Economics and Strategy at Mizuho Bank, unpacking the recent seismic decision made by the Fed to raise Fed fund rates by 75 basis points.
And guess what? From the press conference yesterday, it looks like the Fed is going to go through another round of aggressive rate hikes at July's meeting. So another 75 is possible.
More volatility expected for sure. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.